They build a fire against the side of a great log 20 or 30 steps within the somber depths of the forest, and then cooked some bacon in the frying pan for supper, and used up half of the corn pone stock they had brought. It seemed glorious sport to be feasting in that wild free way in the virgin forest of an unexplored and uninhabited island, far from the haunts of men, and they said they would never return to civilization. The climbing fire lit up their faces and threw its ruddy glare upon the pillared tree trunks of their forest temple and upon the varnished foliage and festooning vines. When the last crisp slice of bacon was gone and the last allowance of corn pone devoured, the boys stretched themselves out on the grass, filled with contentment. They could have found a cooler place, but they would not deny themselves such a romantic feature as the roasting campfire.
"Ain't it jolly?" said Joe.
"It's nuts," said Tom.
"What would the boys say if they could see us?"
"Say, well, they'd just die to be here, hey, Hucky?"
"I reckon so," said Huckleberry. "Anyways, I'm suited. I don't want nothing better than this. I don't ever get enough to eat generally, and here they can't come and kick at a feller and bully rag him so."
"It's just life for me," said Tom. "You don't have to get up mornings, and you don't have to go to school and wash and all that blame foolishness. You see, a pirate don't have to do anything, Joe, when he's ashore. But a hermit, he has to be praying considerable, and then he don't have any fun anyway, all by himself that way."
"Oh, yes, that's so," said Joe. "But I hadn't thought much about it, you know. I'd a good deal rather be a pirate now that I've tried it."
"You see," said Tom, "people don't go much on hermits nowadays, like they used to in old times, but a pirate's always respected. And a hermit's got to sleep on the hardest place he can find, and put sackcloth and ashes on his head, and stand out in the rain, and..."
"What does he put sackcloth and ashes on his head for?"
inquired Huck.
"I don't know, but they've got to do it. Hermits always do. You'd have to do that if you was a hermit."
"Darned if I would,"
said Huck.
"Well, what would you do?"
"I don't know, but I wouldn't do that."
"Why, Huck, you'd have to. How'd you get around it?"
"Why, I just wouldn't stand it. I'd run away."
"Run away? Well, you would be a nice old slouch of a hermit. You'd be a disgrace."
The red-handed made no response, being better employed. He had finished gouging out a cob, and now he fitted a weed stem to it, loaded it with tobacco, and was pressing a coal to the charge and blowing a cloud of fragrant smoke. He was in the full bloom of luxurious contentment. The other pirates envied him this majestic vice and secretly resolved to acquire it shortly. Presently, Huck said,
"What do pirates have to do?"
Tom said, "Oh, they just have a bully time. Take ships and burn them and get the money and bury it in awful places in their island where there's ghosts and things to watch it and kill everybody in the ships. Make them walk a plank. And they carry the women to the island," said Joe. "They don't kill the women."
"No," assented Tom. "They don't kill the women. They're too noble. And the women's always beautiful, too. And don't they wear the bulliest clothes? Oh, no, all gold and silver and diamonds," said Joe with enthusiasm.
"Who?"
said Huck.
"Why, the pirates."
Huck scanned his own clothing forlornly.
"I reckon I ain't dressed fitting for a pirate,"
said he with a regretful pathos in his voice.
"But I ain't got none but these."